Hey everyone, this is Adam Ellenboss from Nightlight Astrology. Happy Monday, everybody. Today we are going to take a look at one of the biggest transits of the week, which is the upcoming conjunction between Venus and Jupiter in the sign of Aries. So we're going to take a look at this from 10 different points of view today to try to get you all ready for this archetypal combination as the week rolls on. There are some light and dark sides to this transit, though generally speaking, when the benefics, which are Venus and Jupiter, get together and they're positively configured in, say, a trine, a sextile, or even the conjunction, you typically get some really nice significations. So I think most of these are things that we can look forward to this week. There are a few little, you know, warnings, I guess, or red flags that are there in any kind of archetypal combination, so we'll go over those as well. But anyway, before we get into it, as always, don't forget to like and subscribe, share your comments, and click the notification bell for updates if you want to know when I'm going live. You can always find transcripts of any of my daily talks on the website, which is nightlightastrology.com. If you would ever like to share any story that has a correlation with one of the transits that we're covering, use the hashtag grabbed and tell us the name of the transit in the comment section along with that hashtag grabbed, and then put your story in. We may use that in a future storytelling episodes. We really appreciate when you guys share your stories. Makes for some pretty good episodes here and there, as you guys know who watch the channel. Those are some of my favorites to make. Anyway, so that covers it. Let's go ahead and put up the real-time clock, and let's take a look at, here we go. So, and we're going to see if my pen will decide to work. Last week, I was having troubles with my pen, but we'll see if it, here we go. So we're looking at the transit of, there we are. Well, that's funny. It's just not working again. I think there might have been like an update or something where it's like, for some reason, the update on the StreamYard side of things doesn't allow for the pen any longer. Let me try one more thing here. Ah, there we go. I think this will work. All right, let's see here. There we go. Got it. Okay, so there's Venus and Jupiter. See, I figured it out. All right, so Venus and Jupiter getting together at the 12th degree of Aries. So if you have any planets in cardinal signs at the 12th degree, this conjunction of the benefics will be making an aspect to, you get squares to Capricorn or Cancer planets at 12 degrees opposition to any planet at 12 Libra, which is a pretty good aspect from two benefics. So just something to watch for in your chart. But at any rate, Venus and Jupiter conjoining, this is March 1st in the evening. That's this Wednesday. And if we go forward from there, one of the things that we're also going to be talking about this week is the very next day, March 1st into the 2nd, we're also going to be talking about the conjunction of Mercury and Saturn. Which is also a really significant archetypal combination. So it's interesting that those two are happening side by side. We will be talking more about that when I cover Mercury and Saturn later this week. So that is the transit that we're looking at, though, Venus conjunct Jupiter. And today I have 10 things that you can watch for, or 10 things that will tend to show themselves as significations of Venus and Jupiter's conjunction. I will add a little bit of Aries flair to these as I go along, but in general, these would be true for any kind of sign combinations, Venus and Jupiter combinations, like overall. So the first one is the simplest and probably the reason that people enjoy this transit so much, and that, again, generally I would say this is a great transit this week, is that it's just a happiness transit. It's a transit that correlates with people literally feeling happy or excited. It can be charismatic, it can be enthusiastic, it can be inspired, it can be enjoyment, it can be joy or pleasure. But generally speaking, when the benefics come together, there's a feeling psychically like it's the perfect day, it's the perfect weather, whatever that is for you. It's probably, for me, it's like spring or summer weather, you know, but there's that feeling of like, this is a really nice atmosphere. Everything just feels a little easier. Things seem to fall into place, and there's a general feeling of enjoying yourself. So one of the most beneficial aspects of this transit is the feelings that people tend to report when this transit comes through. And those feelings are generally joyful, happy, pleasurable, enthused, you know, appreciative. Sometimes it's romantic, but generally speaking, it's just the transit that brings happiness. So that's the most basic thing to watch for is, you know, there's a little bit of happiness in the air. Now, I've been reading a really interesting book on the tarot called, I think it's called Meditations on the Tarot. And it is a reflection on, it's like essays or philosophical reflections on the major arcana. Anyway, in one of them, the sort of mystical teacher who wrote the text, and I think he's anonymous. Like it's not, maybe it's known who wrote it now, but I think when it was first published, it was published anonymously. Anyway, this author goes on to talk about how mystics live happy lives, but they don't have a good time. I think that was the phrase that he used. It was like, and then he went on to explain that, you know, you want to be careful because some of the experiences that are most conducive to suffering are those that are pleasure inducing, but that carry us away from a sense of acceptance and like contentment. It doesn't mean you can't be happy, but there is a little bit of a warning in Venus-Jupiter combinations where it's like, you're going to feel super potentially very happy, but then the potential to get wound up and sort of attached to something, like, well, it should always be this way. Or, I mean, it's something that gets inflated. You know, it's not always fun when the same thing that got inflated gets deflated, right? So it's just like a simple concept. But I think that there's a way of experiencing Venus-Jupiter combinations where it's like, it's pleasurable, it's enjoyable, it's uplifting, but it's also, you don't get carried away by it. You recognize the potential for like a happiness mania to take over, and you don't want that. I've seen people get super high on Jupiter transits to natal Venus, for example, where the good stuff that comes through doesn't last. And then you can start banging your head against the wall because it doesn't last. So that's the only thing that I would warn against is like, be happy, but be content. Be happy, but know that this too will pass. Even happiness will pass. And then you can really enjoy it in a way that's not super attached or clingy. Just kind of a like a ancient stoic way of looking at it. Maybe that's too boring for everybody, but just something to keep in mind. Number two is beneficial relationships. So beneficial relationships would literally be benefactors or anyone that grants you, that gives the green light or the thumbs up or says yes, or grants you a privilege or a benefit or an aid or a boon or a blessing that gives you something that you know, is beneficial. It's a transit of allies, of beneficial people and partnerships, of beneficial influences, of the right person at the right time seeing your work, of special opportunities to build coalitions or collaborations. So any kind of beneficial, uplifting relationship would fall into Venus conjoined Jupiter territory. Now, in the sign of Aries, the first sign of spring, it is possible that the kinds of relationships that you encounter there's a pivotal quality to them, which means that you know, because you meet something, it sparks a fire. It creates an immediate action or impulse to do something or to start something. So I would watch for relationships that also act like that, lighting the fuse of the fire sign of Aries. I'm not sure I articulated that well, but yeah. So any kind of relationship that is both beneficial and maybe has an inceptional feeling to it, it's starting something. Number three would be noble and beautiful aspirations. The things that we love or are attracted to, both sort of morally, spiritually, philosophically, or from a value standpoint, that we also find beautiful and attractive. So if you think about the good idea, the noble idea, the beautiful, noble aspiration or ambition, it's a very Venus-Jupiter combination. And in Aries, there could be a galvanizing of action or a sense of needing to advocate or fight for something that you believe is both noble, beautiful, and true. So keep that in mind. But yeah, this is a combination that can produce within us the spirit of action as it is compelled by something that we find to be both beautiful and sort of noble. Number four would be beauty amplified or exaggerated. So it's like, I'm going to wear the world's most red lipstick with, you know, like a, you know, I'm going to dye my hair red, and I'm going to, you know, so like anything that would just be an like super over the top, fiery, dramatic embellishment of like beauty, or a piece of jewelry that's like huge and sort of fiery and catches your attention. You get the feeling of anything that is beautiful on its own being made bigger or maybe exaggerated. So you got to be careful of the exaggeration. It can be almost like gaudy. That's a key word that comes to mind, or showy or provocative or arrogant. But also anything that just becomes something that's beautiful, that just is just made bigger and showier. So, look for that. Number five, warrior goddesses. So by this, I mean the empowered spirit of, women or, the feminine, as an archetype that, you know, anyone works with, what to speak of, you know, so like the inner feminine or like literal women or whatever. So you have warrior goddess as an archetype of, advocacy and action on behalf of women, or of strong women as leaders, or women as moral or spiritual advocates, the spirit of feminism, or sort of the red tent kind of vibe. The warrior goddesses could also be literally about women in sports or major athletic achievements from women or something like that. Also, anything that is bold and provocative and empowering for the feminine. I mentioned this before, but we were looking at Rihanna for the halftime show of the Super Bowl, and we were looking at Jupiter and Aries in her chart and what it was touching, and saying it wouldn't be surprising if her show had a kind of empowered feminine warrior vibe, and she wore all red and announced her pregnancy, right? So it's a very like, just a super Jupiter in Aries with the Venus vibe. So anything sort of warrior goddess related, that archetypal combination is very Venus, Jupiter in Aries, sign of the ram. Number six would be extravagance or indulgence. So anything that's like going over the top when it comes to material things, or that is, you know, like, I'm going to pursue something that I'm lusting after, or, you know, like, I'm eating too much, I'm spending too much, that kind of thing. So any kind of extravagant material or sexual impulse, maybe a like tendency toward greed or lust or vanity, that can be, maybe even a little bit almost like bullying too. Like there's a, like let my wealth, I'm showing off my wealth and power in a kind of domineering way. So stuff like that, like almost like shows of power and wealth and beauty that are kind of, a bit like a feminine machismo. I don't know if that makes sense. All right. Number seven would be hedonism. So this would be like, and I'm not just meaning like, you know, that sort of eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow you will die, said casually while someone, you know, quaffs a beer at the Renaissance Festival. You know, it's like, it's more like the actual philosophy. This world is all there is. This body is all there is. Nothing's, you know, perfect. Live life, take it as it comes, and live life for the sake of pleasure, for the sake of maximizing pleasure and maybe doing no harm or something, but like something around, moral or philosophical justification of the pursuit of pleasure of like comma, you know? So, that philosophy can be moving through the psychic air, even if it's not one that you think you live by. You'd be surprised when this transit comes through, you may adopt it for a few days. So, number eight, over the top kindness or like politically correct behavior. And by over the top, I just mean usually like exaggerated for the purpose of getting something or getting somewhere, like kind of manipulating impressions so that you look diplomatic or you appear harmonious, but you have an agenda. And a little bit of that agenda comes a little bit from the fact that Venus and Jupiter are in a Mars ruled sign, which usually has some ambitions and desires and almost like a conquering desire to be victorious or to come out on top. So Venus Jupiter can be like the world's best diplomat, or it can be a sign of someone who has wonderful social charm or social grace or whatever. But this is a combination that could easily result in, there's an ambition and a ruthlessness behind it. It's a little bit there from the Aries Mars symbolism. Venus Jupiter can also just be number 9, socially opportunistic. So, and that's not always a bad thing. I don't mean to, that word opportunism may sound more negative than I mean it to sound. It could be negative as in, it's not what you know, it's who you know kind of thing. Like climb your way up through advantageous social relationships. Some of that's, I think, probably important in every job and every industry, that you get to know people and make advantageous allies and friends and colleagues and stuff like that. But this would be a little bit more like, you know, that backstabbing, gossiping. I don't really care about any of these people. I'm just trying to get somewhere. That would be the worst of this one. But otherwise, it could be just also looking at advantageous relationships and ways of progressing, moving closer toward the realization of your goals through, beneficial friendships or professional networks or something. Number 10 would be expensive taste. Now, that kind of goes along with extravagance and hedonism and stuff like that. But it's amazing how specifically Venus and Jupiter will correlate with high ticket, high priced items. So just kind of keep that in mind. And also, I just added this one, which is that you will often find with Venus Jupiter combinations that some sense of moral order is undermined by desire. And maybe it needs to be. For example, there's always the story, of someone who's too uptight, too austere, and they fall in love with someone, and that love causes them to, to open up and be more spontaneous, right? And to set aside the moral, righteousness, and to let their hair down and go nuts, have a drink, get laid, set your righteousness aside for a minute and let yourself enjoy. So sometimes we need to do that because we guard ourselves against experience itself because we're afraid of being wrong, or we're afraid that what we do or what we experience will be wrong, or that there will be some consequence later. And so we try to protect ourselves from the value of any kind of raw experience, especially the unknown, risky, vulnerable experiences, by standing behind certain moral certitudes. And sometimes this combination comes up when that needs to be, just toppled, and we just need to like have an experience and live and learn. And then we learn something as a result of just letting sort of Venus do her thing, you could say. Venus always in favor, let's say, of just having experience and letting the heart and desire body sort of let its intelligence lead us. Even if sometimes it leads us into things that we realize in hindsight, weren't good for us, it's also the only way. And in some ways, that's the only way you can learn. Watch kids. It's like you have to let them experience certain things to figure out what they like or don't like, or what's healthy or safe or what's not, within reason. And I think we should trust the planet sometimes. Venus Jupiter comes up and you're feeling like doing something a little naughty, like there's probably worse things that could do than just say, okay, like I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe this is naughty, maybe it's not. And then we'll just see. I'll live and learn. On the other hand, you could easily hear a voice in your head justifying something that you know isn't good, that's destructive, that will sort of lead you astray. But the, sort of desire or temptation may be great. So you have to discern that for yourself with this one sometimes. Anyway, that's my list of 10. I think that gives us some really good, a really good set of ideas to keep in mind for the transit of Venus and Jupiter this week. We will also be looking at some of the big astrology of March, and we'll be sure to take a look at Mercury and Saturn conjoining in Aquarius as well. All right, that's what I've got for today. I hope you guys are having a good day and a nice start to your week, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye, everyone.